This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. There was some good news this month in the fight against HIV. Over the past decade in the United States, the HIV infection rate has dropped by nearly one-third. That's according to a new study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. That got us wondering if the same trend was happening here. Matthew Golden is a doctor who directs the HIV-STD program at King County Public Health. Thank you so much for joining us.
Nice to be here.
Are we seeing the reduction in HIV infection rates here along the same lines as we've seen around the country by one-third?
We are. So we've had a 26% reduction in new HIV diagnoses over the period of the last decade. So slightly lower than what's been seen nationally, although we probably started out with a somewhat lower rate of infection. I think what we see here, which has not been seen nationally, is we're seeing these reductions in men who have sex with men. So nationally, what's happened is very dramatic reductions in infections and injection drug users, declines in heterosexual transmission, and flat rates of infection in men who have sex with men, whereas we're seeing reductions across the board, including in men who have sex with men. So I would actually say what's going on here is more encouraging than what's happening in the national scene.
Why do you suppose there are fewer instances of HIV arising from men having sex with men here?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of contrasting us to the national experience, first of all, we have a number of advantages in terms of our healthcare system and our public health system. So HIV prevention and care has always been better funded in Washington State and in King County in particular than it has been nationally. So significant state and local resources go into HIV, which don't happen around the United States as a whole. As a result, we've really always been able to say that if you have HIV in King County, you will get the treatment you need, and that continues to be the case. We have a superb infrastructure in terms of providing people with care. We have an engaged community, particularly an MSM community, and strong community partners, and we have an effective public health system. So all of those things, I think, benefit us. I also think the demographics of Seattle is somewhat different than the country as a whole. So where we see failure nationally is in African-American men who have sex with men, and particularly young African-American men who have sex with men in the southern United States. We aren't seeing big disparities like that in King County. But Seattle doesn't have a huge African-American population relative to some parts of the country.
I was going to say it was probably a smaller sample here.
Right, exactly. So I think culturally, Seattle is somewhat different than, say, the Deep South, where the problem appears to be worse. So some of this is demographics, and some of it, I think, we're benefiting from a long-term investment in HIV prevention and care after many years.
How does that play out? How does that investment, which took place some years ago, pay dividends moving forward?
Well, I think what the dividend is that we're seeing lower infection risk. And we're seeing huge – I mean, we have at this point a 51% reduction over the last 10 years in mortality among people with HIV. So the benefits we're seeing are not only reductions in new diagnoses, but people are living longer, better lives. We're making these diagnoses earlier in people. So again, you know, a long-term dividend.
Are we better – are you better at figuring out the messages which resonate with men having sex with men to discourage them from having unsafe sex leading to HIV?
I'm not sure I would say that. I would say, this is really a collaboration between our community partners and public health. And the issue here is the message that resonated in late 1980s, early 1990s, before we had effective therapy, is not the message that we need in 2014.
Explain that.
Well, I think in the late 80s, early 90s, when a lot of people were dying of HIV, there was huge amount of fear that was well justified. And now we have an infectious disease which is very treatable, and people diagnosed with HIV in 2014 can expect to live a normal lifespan. That doesn't mean HIV isn't a big deal. HIV is still a big deal. No one wants to have HIV infection. At the same time, you know, the population is educated and aware, and so the messages have to be different.
Well, how does that play out? If you're talking to young gay men who maybe have absorbed the idea that it's not going to kill them and maybe are not as careful as they ought to be, how do you reinforce the idea that it is something they should care about even though it might not kill them?
Well, I think it's a tough message. Nobody wants to have HIV. So I think there is a desire to remain uninfected more or less universally. There are probably some exceptions. So we can still appeal to that. No one wants to take medications all the time. Everybody wants to be healthy. So that is still out there. I think it is a more challenging message in some ways because people actually don't want to use condoms either, which I understand. I think we have some new tools that we need to use more effectively. So we still want to promote condom use. And I would say that that would be true even of populations at lower risk for HIV infection. But we also have pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP, which is a new tool. So there are some options.
Explain what that means, prophylaxis, when it comes to HIV.
So pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP is taking medications, particularly two drugs that are in a single pill called Truvada, to prevent yourself from acquiring HIV infection. And Truvada isn't the right choice for everyone, but it is the right choice for some people. So I think the best is still using condoms consistently, knowing your HIV status and knowing the HIV status of your sex partners. However, some people are going to take higher risks. I do know that. And if you are a person at higher risk, then taking a medication every day to prevent your acquisition of HIV may be the right choice for you.
Is condom technology advancing so that it might not be something that people just don't want to use because they don't like it in sex?
Well, I would say that there are ongoing investments to improve condom technology, but I'm not sure that it is radically different than it's been.
You know, I at one point, the rate of infection among young men appeared to be spreading rapidly, and it was partly because of what we've talked about, the sense that you might feel invulnerable if you haven't lived through an era when AIDS could be a death sentence. How about that when it comes to younger men? Is the rate of infection also dropping among that demographic?
So it isn't, but I think it's important to realize a limitation.
It isn't.
It is not, actually. Yes. The number of new diagnoses is going up in the youngest men. But there are several things to be aware of here, is that we actually are not estimating the incidence, the number of new infections. We're estimating the number of new diagnoses. So we can see an increase in new diagnoses among young men, either because the incidence, the true infection rate, is increasing, or because we're diagnosing them earlier. One is a public health failure. One is a public health success.
I see. So it could be they're just getting checked sooner, and
right.
Cases that might have slipped by you are now being detected.
Exactly. So it's a little hard to tease this apart. In Seattle, we are seeing something of a bump in the youngest men, but I would point out that the rate of infection in those youngest gay men remains quite low, much lower than what is observed nationally. And so it is a cause for concern. At the same time, I think overall, the picture is a positive one.
We got a press release today about University of Washington bioengineers who are working on a medicated dissolvable fabric that they say protects women from contracting AIDS. We hear about things like this all the time. Do you know anything about this particular item or others that are said to be leading to a decline in infection rates?
So I don't know about this press release and the fabric. I think that developing long-acting drugs or novel mechanisms to deliver drugs is a big new effort. And we had good news at CROI, at the Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections, some months ago about a long-acting drug that could be used potentially as PrEP, as pre-exposure prophylaxis. So I do think that that will happen, but the time frame is a little uncertain.
Are drug companies as focused as they've ever been on coming up with these new drugs? It costs a lot of money to develop a drug and to test it and to make sure it's safe. And oftentimes, drug companies don't really focus on areas where they don't see a big financial upside. Are they still focused on HIV?
You know, I think they are. There is a big financial upside to HIV. So these meds are extremely expensive. People take them chronically. And because you're going to be, you know, a person who's HIV infected is going to take HIV meds over the long term, there's a pretty big return on investment if you get a successful drug.
And then finally, for the personal finances of someone, you mentioned Truvada as an effective drug to prevent HIV infection. Can someone get that on their health plan, or is it a costly drug to take?
Well, it depends on your insurance.
Yeah.
But there are a number of opportunities in Washington State. Again, I think we have made some investments that others haven't. So first of all, I would say that Apple Health Medicaid does cover PrEP. So we are a Medicaid expansion state. I would encourage everyone who has a lower income, that's 138% of poverty or less, to look into, are you Medicaid eligible if you are not insured? We are also approaching a new open enrollment period in November. So if you aren't insured, now is a great time to begin to investigate your options. No one needs to be without insurance in Washington State. We also have a statewide PrEP assistance program. So if you're a lower income person, there is assistance available to help you pay for these medications.
How could someone listening find out about that if they are low income?
So you can go to the Public Health Seattle King County or the Washington State Department of Health website. You can also, if you're a man who has sex with a man who has at higher risk or concerned about your risk of HIV infection, you could come to the STD clinic at Harborview, and we'd be happy to talk to you about that.
Dr. Golden, thank you so much for stopping by.
Nice talking to you.
Dr. Matthew Golden directs the HIV STD program at Public Health Seattle King County. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.